Welcome back. Welcome to Module 16, Sales Mastery. I'm Steve G. Jones, your tour guide for this tour of fun, learning how to interact with people and get what you want. I can't think of anything more exciting than that, more fun than that, more profitable than that, not only in a monetary sense, but also in a building your friendship sense, having more friends, having more influence. You don't have to be a politician to be interested in influencing people. You don't have to be a salesperson. You don't have to be a single person. Everybody has an interest in influencing those around them. And that's what this program is about. Let's carry on in this module as we look at sales mastery. Now keep in mind, the techniques in the sales mastery module can be applied to dating as well. They can be applied to interacting with your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. They can be applied to pretty much anything when it comes to conversing with someone. I'm calling them sales mastery techniques because they're normally used in sales. And if you're in sales, you're going to really enjoy them. But even if you're not, you can benefit from this module. Now, I've developed my own system called Alpha Power Patterns. Alpha Power Patterns are words grouped into five categories that command results. Wouldn't it be nice to have a handful of words that can do something? Think of it like carrying around a pouch. And in that pouch, you have magical seeds. And when you plant those seeds, they grow into whatever you want them to grow into. A money tree, a relationship. Wouldn't it be nice to have words that you can sprinkle in your conversation that cause that? Well, I call these alpha power patterns, these groups of words, this five-set group of words, because when you think about an alpha male, you don't have to be a male to relate to this, but you think about an alpha male, the alpha male is in charge. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Number one, you may have heard in the Bible, for example, the Alpha and the Omega. That means the first and last. Alpha is the first. These power patterns make you number one, make you the first. They give you, whether you're male or female, that alpha male energy. You're taking over. You've heard it's a man's world. Well, even if you're a woman, you can make it yours with these alpha power patterns. It's not a man's world. If you want it, it's your world, no matter who you are. So let's take a look at alpha power patterns. Now I've divided them up into five sets of words. We're going to look at them in detail, but let me introduce them to you. First, we're going to look at direct power patterns. Then we're going to look at consequential power patterns. Those are power patterns that have a consequence. Then, number three, we're going to look at expansive power patterns. Words that cause people's thinking to be expansive. Next, we're going to look at sequential power patterns. Words which have to do with the order of things. And lastly, number five, we're going to look at experiential power patterns. Words that have to do with your experience. So direct power patterns, consequential power patterns, expansive power patterns, sequential power patterns, and experiential power patterns. All right, so let's take a look at direct power patterns. The first alpha pattern we're going to look at, the first alpha power pattern we're going to examine is a direct power pattern. Now, these patterns are all used within sentences. And the words, the key words in each power pattern, keywords determine where the pattern is going. Okay, so let's look at direct power patterns. The words, the keywords in this set of patterns would be yes, now, and stop. Yes, now, and stop. Think about those words for a moment. They are at the top of the alpha power patterns. The alpha power patterns you can imagine being in a pyramid. The most powerful ones are at the top. They are direct. They are at the very pinnacle, the apex of the pyramid, the very top. They are the ones that if you can't think of any other words in that moment, you want to use yes, now, and stop. Now, you don't use them together. You don't say, yes, now, stop. Here's the way you do it. If you're talking with someone and you want to take direct control, take alpha control of the situation, you want to use these words. If they ask you a question, the strongest word that you can use is yes. Now, why is that? Why is yes the most powerful word in English? Or in Spanish, it would be sí. So you can even use it in Spanish. It is, in whatever language it appears, the most powerful word, the word that affirms everything. Yes makes everything possible. That's why yes is the ultimate word. If you say yes to someone, that says a few things. Number one, you didn't say anything else. You just said yes. That's so powerful. You didn't explain why you thought it was yes. You didn't say yes, but, or yes, and. It didn't need anything. It didn't need a modifier. It just needed to be delivered. Yes, I'm putting yes on the table. Wow. Think about it. When people get married, do you take this bride to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold till death do you part? And if the answer is yes, wow, what did that create? That created a marriage, which will hopefully last a lifetime. Hopefully. It created something. It sealed a deal. If you're trying to get someone to agree with you and they say yes, wow, done. Negotiation, done. The answer is yes. So yes is the most powerful word. Use it when you can to control the situation. Just deliver it. Drop the yes bomb. Yes. Only use it when you, of course, agree with what's going on. But use it by itself. Let it stand alone. Remember, it's at the top of the pyramid. It stands alone. It's one of those words. It's a direct power pattern word. It's a key word in that category. Yes. The other key word is now. When would you like to do that? Now. These words don't always have to be used alone. You can use them in conjunction with other words if you want to. But if they stand alone, they have more power. When would you like to sign this agreement? Now. As long as you agree on the terms, now is very powerful. When would you like me to tell you about my vacation? Now. Wow. You know those people who just seem to be in charge all the time? Have you ever noticed something about them? They give short answers. They don't need to explain what's going on. They don't need to divulge a lot of information to back up what they're saying. They just give the information. Now. When would you like that done? Now. When would you like me to start on that? Now. It's not now, well, if you feel like it. And it's not yes, well, or maybe. The words are now and yes. So get used to them. Try them out. You know, the first time you try this in an interaction, you're going to feel like saying the next few words. You're going to feel like saying what you would normally say, the disclaimers. Well, I'd like to do it now, but it doesn't have to be now. I can, you know, do it next week sometime, I guess. How weak was that? Wow. That person could have said now. Now. And I recommend delivering those words in a very authoritarian manner. You know how doctors speak? Doctors just tell you like it is. If they know what's going on, they don't always know exactly what's going on, but they tell you, to the best of their knowledge, what's going on. I have a lot of doctor friends. And they tell me that when they talk with patients, they speak very directly. I've worked with a lot of patients myself in my hypnotherapy practice. I speak very directly with them. People don't respect people who water things down, who use excessive words. Why are you using all of those words? Why not just tell me what's going on? Tell me like it is. So these words, when you can use them, are very powerful. Yes. Now, another word that you want to get used to using is stop. Stop. Think of it. Think of a stop sign, a red octagon, at least in the United States. It's very powerful. There's something commanding about the stop sign, and it's in our subconscious minds. We're used to that. Stop sign's telling me to do something. You know what that stop sign carries with it? The full force of the law. If you violate what those four letters are telling you, you could go to jail. You could cause an accident. You could break the law and feel bad about it. We see them every day when driving. We don't always think about the power. Those four letters, that one word, such a simple word, yet so powerful, stop. What if someone's doing something and you don't want them to do it anymore? Stop. You can also use these words in complete sentences, as long as you're not being excessive. We talked about yes, now, and stop. For example, yes, I understand that you'd like to sign the contract now and stop living the life that you previously lived. Look at those words in that sentence. Wow. Yes, now, and stop. I've got definite solutions. I'm going to stop them from doing something. You know, I've stopped a lot of people from smoking. I have a 98% success rate with stopping smokers. When I lived in Los Angeles, I was invited to join the Los Angeles chapter of the American Lung Association to be on their board of directors. Because of my success rate with stopping smokers, I was able to help people. I was able to help them stop. That's all they wanted, was that one word, stop. Yes, I can help you stop now. I used all three of those words. That is so powerful. I just got right to the point. So these words can be used in your sentences, but be careful. When you're using them, make sure the sentences are short. Sprinkle them in there. Sprinkle one, two, or all three. These are direct power pattern keywords, and I want you to start using them effectively. Understand the power that they carry, the power to have you suddenly look like, wait a minute, this guy or this lady doesn't mess around. They're to the point. People like that. So get used to being powerful by using the alpha power patterns that are called direct power patterns. Yes, now, and stop. All right, let's take a look at consequential power patterns. Now, consequential power patterns imply that there is a consequence. Just like direct power patterns tell someone what to do, no bones about it, no ifs, ands, or buts. It's just do this. Or they tell someone that I agree with that, or they tell someone to stop doing that. That's direct power patterns. Consequential power patterns tell us that there is a consequence associated with something. Now, the only word that I want you to know from this set, the only keyword, is because. Now, you can think of other words that you can use in this set, but they will not be as effective as the word because. The word because just cuts right to the chase. Because this is happening, here is the consequence. Because the sun came up, it became light outside and very bright. Because Bill stayed outside in the sun all day and didn't use sunblock, he got a sunburn. Now, did you notice I used the word and? And is a consequential modifier. Because can be stacked with a bunch of ends. Because you were late, we lost the account, and they decided not to talk to us anymore, and you're fired. So because can be modified by and. because you choose to not do what I say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and the other thing's going to happen. Consequential power pattern. Now, those are negative examples of consequential power patterns, and we want to avoid them whenever possible. If we leave someone feeling bad about something, we're not really accomplishing anything. In my experiments with this over the last 20 years, I've tried this out many times and many different people in many different situations just to see what the results would be. As a doctoral student, I like to document information, find out what works and what doesn't work. And if it doesn't work, I want to know why. And what I found out is that if you're going to use any of these patterns in a negative way and leave someone with that feeling that, yeah, they obeyed you, but they don't feel good about it because you were either mean or you were not giving them something. Remember, in negotiation, there can be a give and take. Okay, consequential power patterns are best done when they're positive. So let me give you an example so you'll know what I'm talking about, and we'll get right to the heart of the matter, because once we do, you're going to feel powerful in ultimate conversational hypnosis, and you're going to get results. Okay, that's an example of a consequential power pattern. Because of this, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. There doesn't need to be a laundry list of things that are going to happen because of this. In fact, if you make the list too long, it could take away from your message. Because you have decided to go with my company, this is going to happen. And that's going to happen. You're going to have great results. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. Okay? So because. Now, a lesser version of that would be since. Some people fall back on since. Since that's going to happen, this could happen. I'm just telling you that word because you're going to be tempted from time to time to use because is lesser relative since, but since is not as powerful as because. You've got to trust me on this one. I've tried it many times. So the way you use this is, let's say you're talking with someone in a business situation, and they're not sure yet whether or not they're going to actually use your service. Let's say you're selling car washes for a whole fleet of postal service vans, and they're not sure if they want to use your car wash service or not to wash their postal service vans. You could come up with a sentence which would be something like, because you're going to use our services, you're going to find that your vans are cleaner than they've ever been before, and your employees are happier and more productive because they feel good about themselves. Wow. A lot of becauses, a lot of ands. What a powerful sentence. How brazen of me to talk to someone like that. They don't even know if they're going to go with my car washing service yet. But I've told them, because you're going to, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. I've put that in their mind. It's so very suggestive. And initially, when they hear that word, they may think, wait a minute, I haven't decided to do anything. But then you're sharing with them the consequences, the positive consequences. Remember, keep things positive. Show them how they are going to win. Because you've decided to do what I say, you're going to have this, and you're going to have that. Okay, so enjoy that. In the alpha power patterns, consequential power patterns ranks number 2, right below direct power patterns. And the key word is because. Its modifier is and. And remember, if you can ever use since or because, choose because. Because it is very powerful and you're going to have better results with it. All right, let's look at the third type of alpha power patterns. And that would be the expansive power patterns. Now, there are two keywords in this group, and they are beyond and expand. Expansive power patterns help people see beyond what's going on right now. Expansive power patterns help people understand the possibilities. Possibilities are limitless. Yet if that isn't being conveyed in your sales presentation, whether you're selling yourself to someone else or you're selling a product, if you're not conveying that, you're not going to open their mind to the possibilities that you have to offer. So these words are very helpful in sentences. Again, they are beyond and expand. And here's an example. You know, I see that the Acme company can see beyond tomorrow. And you can see how, with my product, you're going to expand your sales force and dominate the world. Okay, so maybe you wouldn't say dominate the world, but you see how it works. I mean, you start talking like that, and you start to feel like that. Beyond, expand, yes, we're marching onward. You feel powerful. You see how these are alpha power patterns? They really make you feel powerful, expansive. These power patterns are the things that great speeches are made of. All those speeches you've heard, if you listen to them, as I have, I've listened to many, many powerful people speak, and I've noticed these patterns from them. How do powerful patterns come about? They come about by people thinking. These presidents and so forth have speechwriters. These speeches don't just happen. They're designed to persuade. They're designed to control. They're designed to manipulate, whether it's for quote good or quote bad, doesn't matter. It's all mind control. Why not learn something? Not from the politicians, because they don't write their own speeches. From the speech writers. Who's behind that curtain? Who's the Wizard of Oz? You're not going to pick up on it if you're just watching. You've got to look at a transcript of these speeches, and you're going to see what's really going on. Expansive power patterns get you motivated. They get the person you're talking to motivated. Suddenly, it's not about here and now anymore. It's not about sign this or don't sign it. It's not about believe me or don't believe me. It's about the exciting, amazing, wonderful future and the possibilities that are being created. Expansive power patterns. Beyond and expand. I would hope that you can see beyond having to listen to me talk through all these modules and understand how you are going to expand your social network, the power and influence you have, and your money-making potential. Because as you continue to learn and grow, you're going to prosper and feel happy. So now is the time to stop your old patterns of thinking and say to yourself, yes, I can do it. Okay, you see how I combined all the words in the top part of the pyramid? Does it sound like a motivational speech? Does it sound like something that would inspire you? Of course it did. I used all three that I've taught you so far. I started with expansive power patterns and worked my way up to consequential power patterns, then direct power patterns. And notice that my words, my phrases became a little more simple as I went, because I was gaining power. I didn't need to use as many words. All right. The fourth category is sequential power patterns. Sequential power patterns have to do with the concept that things are happening in a certain order. And when we talk about sequence, we have three choices. We have before something happened, we have while something's happening, and we have after something's happening. And these are important words. Before, while, W-H-I-L-E, and after. Before you learned about conversational hypnosis, you didn't have the tools that you're availing yourself to now while you're listening to this program. And after you finish the program, you're going to be even more powerful. You see how I did a consequential power pattern before, while, and after? You're taking them on a journey. You're taking them on a hero's journey. You know, whenever I hear a great person speak, they always have their hero's journey. Oh, goodness, I was down and out. This happened to me and that happened to me. And now I'm on top of the world, and tomorrow I'll be on top of the moon, or whatever. They're building in momentum. The concept of sequential power patterns is very powerful. Before, while, and after. Take them on a journey. Before you heard of the Acme product, you were probably thinking, how am I going to solve that problem? While you listen to me speak and describe its benefits, you can start to see possibilities. And after you start using it, you're going to feel relieved that the solution is finally here. Before, while, and after. All right, let's take a look at the base of the pyramid now, experiential power patterns. This is at the bottom because experiences are what we all have. They're the opposite of direct. Direct would mean telling someone what to do beyond a shadow of a doubt. Here's what I want you to do or not do. Because you can use yes, now, or stop with direct power patterns. But experiential power patterns are still helpful, but they're very basic because they have to do with what's actually going on. You're kind of just reiterating what somebody already knows about what's going on, kind of drawing their attention to the obvious. So you want to use these probably sparingly. The higher you go up on the pyramid, the more often you want to find excuses to use the patterns. All right, let's look at experiential power patterns. And the two words in there would be realize and aware. The idea is that they're going to realize what's going on and be aware of what's going on, but you're focusing their attention on it. You see, in the room you're in now, or the vehicle, or the area, or wherever you are, there are probably things going on. Yet, you may not be aware of all of the things going on. For example, if you try to think of everything in the area that you're in that has a name, a label, that starts with S, you can start to notice things. Screen, like a computer screen. Steve, I'm Steve. Stapler, these are things that may be around you if you're in an office area, and Steve happens to be there. But you become aware of them and you realize them when someone points them out to you. They're already there, but someone's focusing a light on them, kind of like shining a flashlight on just them, just those things, making the room dark, and the flashlight's only shining on those things. They're already there, and you already were aware of them, just not consciously, so you are bringing extra attention to them. Here's how it works. So the words are realize and aware. I'm certain that you realize the benefits of the program that you're now taking part in, and you're aware that you're going to be more powerful after using it. Or another example, a generic sales example. I'm certain that you realize that Acme widgets are the best widgets in the world, and you're aware of the potential that this company has for growth. Okay, so I used realize and I used aware. You realize the potential, you're aware of the potential, and so forth. And guess what? They may have been thinking about it. In the case of, you know, the stapler and the computer screen, you can pretty much be aware of it. And no one's going to argue that, yes, there is a stapler when there is one. And yes, there is a computer screen when there is one. And there's Steve when there is one. There are things that start with S. These are things that can't be argued against as long as they're factual. However, you're taking something that's not necessarily factual and making it factual. Experiential power patterns draw on the fact that you can create someone's experience. They're probably not aware that Acme widgets are the best in the world, and they probably don't realize the wonderful things that are going to happen with the Acme company. But you're saying, I'm sure you realize this. I'm sure you're aware of that. Okay? You are painting their experience. That's not their experience. If that was their experience, you wouldn't have to do it. It wouldn't have to be something that you created. It would already be there. So that is at the bottom of the different power patterns. The alpha power patterns forms the base of the pyramid because it's something that's obvious. But as I pointed out, sometimes it's not obvious. You're making it obvious for them. You're making it part of their experience. So a very powerful pattern. Don't overlook it. Remember at the top, you have the power patterns that are direct power patterns. You have yes, you have now, and you have stop. And you use these very directly, and hopefully by themselves when you can. Those are the keywords. Then you have consequential power patterns. Because of this, you have that, and you have this, and you have that. Okay. And then you have expansive power patterns, which are beyond and expand. You're helping someone see beyond the possibilities and expand their awareness. Then you have number four, sequential power patterns. Sequential has to do with order, before, while, and after. Before you went with a company, you had these results. While I'm talking, you can see the possibilities. After you sign a contract, you're going to see your sales go up. And then at the base of the pyramid, experiential power patterns. Pointing out someone's experience, except at the same time you're creating their experience. The keywords there are realize and aware. I'm sure you realize that this company is the best company, and you're aware of their tremendous track record. So enjoy these words. Start using them like salad dressing on a salad. Use them. Sprinkle them here and there. Make that salad taste good. Enjoy these words. Sprinkle them into your conversation and have fun with them. Because beyond having fun with them, you're going to find that these words cause people to do what you want them to do. These words give you the power that you need to make things happen. I want to talk to you now about my metaphor technique. Metaphors are used commonly in hypnotherapy. Dr. Milton Erickson used metaphors extensively when he was working with patients. He was the, as you may remember, original hypnotherapist, in my opinion. Now, hypnotherapy has been around a long time. Some people say 5,000 years, but I don't think it really took off until Dr. Milton Erickson, MD, came along and started to make it more subtle. He made hypnotherapy a more subtle tool. He made it almost surgical. And the way he did it was by use of metaphors. Metaphors are very powerful, and they simply mean that you're telling a story that is a parallel to what you want the person to do. For example, a simple metaphor would be, if I want you to go to a restaurant, I would tell you a story about a person who went to a place to get food. Now, I haven't specified an exact restaurant. I just want you to go to a restaurant. So I would tell you a story about a person who was very hungry, and this person, oddly enough, would look a lot like you. I would describe basically what you look like, although not exactly what you look like. I would take the essence of what you look like, approximate height, approximate age, gender, and so forth. I would say this person was very hungry. Their hunger was increasing, and they just had to get something to eat. So they traveled across a desert on their horse, and they finally reached what they thought was an oasis. But it turned out it was an inn that actually served food. And they were so relieved because they had been hungry for so long. And they ate, and the food tasted so good. What is this going to do? This story is something that you are going to see as something that you can relate to. Same height, same age, approximately. Same gender, exactly. And you're going to start thinking, wow, this person is a lot like me. I think I'm getting a little hungry. And they were happy and satisfied when they ate. Wow, I could really go for some food right now. And they traveled to get to that food. Well, I can travel to get to a restaurant. So a metaphor can be very powerful. I've worked with a lot of patients to get them to lose weight by telling them metaphorical stories. I've told them stories about horses running across fields to get them to be able to last longer sexually. People come to me with sexual problems, being a little premature. I tell a story, a metaphor, about a horse running across a field, and this horse is able to run a long time, and he finally reaches his destination. You see how this works? This is a story that is parallel to what's going on. This gentleman sees himself as a stallion. Now he's running across a field for a long time. So the story parallels what's actually going on. You're giving them a command, but it's in a story. Have you ever noticed when someone gets up to give a speech, a lot of times they'll tell a story first? I was with Toastmasters. By the way, if you've never taken a Toastmasters course, I recommend them. They're an international organization. They usually meet once a week in the evening. They get together and have dinner and they toast. Some people drink, they toast. And you learn how to give a speech. Toastmasters. They will train you how to speak appropriately, how to deliver a speech, the components of a speech. Toastmasters will also train you to have a funny story when you first start out. And good speech writers will write in a funny story, something that grips the audience. You walk out, these people may have heard of you, but they don't know you. They don't know you face to face, one on one. They don't really know who you are, the real you. They want to find out. If you just walk out to deliver a speech or walk into a presentation room and just start presenting, what good is that? They might as well have just read a transcript of your words. They might as well have watched a video from years gone by about the facts or read a book. If you're just giving facts, you're not connecting with people. A story is a great way to start out. A humorous story is an even better way to start out. A metaphorical story is the best way to start out. Think about it. You need to establish rapport. Taking the edge off with a funny story can be a great way. But why not hide a command in the story? Why not make your story into a metaphor? So, for example, I'm going to tell you a few different metaphors. Let's say that you want someone to buy your product. You work for the Acme company, and they make widgets. Okay, so you're walking into the presentation room, and you're trying to sell Acme widgets to this group of people. Well, they may or may not know who you are, but you've got to let them know who you are. Your story helps you do that. Your story conveys that, who you are, and it conveys your sense of humor. And it also has a nice little hidden command in it. So let's create this metaphor now. You and I, let's do it together. If you're not driving, if you're stopped somewhere, I want you to take out a pen and paper, if you can, and I want you to create this with me. We're going to create the first example together. What is it that we want to accomplish? We want to share a little bit about ourselves. We want to show a sense of humor to get them laughing, break the ice, and we want to command them. We want to control their minds secretly. That's what this course is all about, secretly controlling people's minds. All right. So how can we make this revealing about ourselves? How about telling them a story about how you were getting ready this morning? Now, I'm going to make up a fictitious character that's going to represent you, but I want you to add some details to it. So we have the character who's getting up in the morning. You're going to tell a funny story about how you traveled there. Something funny happened to you. Didn't really happen to you. It's a fictitious story. Kind of like a comedian delivers material. You know that funny thing didn't happen to them in that way, but you go with it. You suspend your disbelief, as they say in acting. I've worked with a lot of actors. You suspend your disbelief, and you just go along for the ride. Okay, so you have poetic license when you're delivering a speech. All right, so you're going to tell a story about how you woke up. So add in there, if you need to pause occasionally, that's fine. Add in there what you do when you get up. Sharing with them intimate details, drawing them in. All right. Now, you're going to tell them a story about traveling from your home to your office. You may not have an office, but work with me here. The story of you traveling from your home to your office is the story of them traveling from disbelief in Acme widgets to traveling and arriving at believing in Acme widgets and believing in your company and signing a contract to buy 5,000 Acme widgets. Okay? That's your goal, to sell them 5,000 Acme widgets. What in that story that we can tell about you getting ready in the morning can be a direct parallel to their journey from disbelief to buying those widgets? Well, when you woke up this morning, how about you couldn't believe what time it was? And add some more details. Maybe what you were wearing. Share, but don't share too much. Maybe the exact time. Go ahead and add that in. And you just couldn't believe what you were hearing. Your alarm clock was going off. Ugh, it's time to get up. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And then you got ready. Maybe you fumbled out of bed. Add some humor here. Maybe you fumbled out of bed and you can act it out for them. I just fumbled right out of bed. I got up, got in the shower, and I started to wake up, started to become aware of what's going on. Okay, so your audience now started in disbelief about Acme widgets, and now they're becoming aware. Do you see how the story parallels what you're doing with them? You're leading them down a path. By the time you get to work, they're ready to sign. Your story is parallel with what you want them to do. It's a metaphor. And you're traveling then down the road, and you're going to have to add some funny things here. What funny things can you think of? What funny things have you ever seen while you're traveling? Add them into that story. Poetic license. They happened this morning in your story. What's the funniest thing you've ever seen? Add it in there. Once they're laughing, you've got them. It's rapport. But you're also pulling them into this metaphor. And as you drove, you felt better and better because you were heading to the Acme office. You're heading there, and then you finally arrive at the Acme office. And while you're sitting at your desk, a shipment arrived for 5,000 something. Fill it in. 5,000 copy cartridges, 5,000 reams of paper, 5,000 boxes. Something arrived. And you had to sign for it. You had to sign for 5,000 something. Add some humor in. Bring them along. Tell them that after you signed, they brought in whatever it was, the 5,000 something, and you felt so good. It just revolutionized the office. So what's going on is that you are telling this humorous story, but you're also using it as a metaphor to bring them in. They started out in disbelief. By the time they got to the Acme office, they felt better. And when they signed for that 5,000 something, they felt good. So when they sign for those 5,000 widgets, they're going to feel good. That's the power of metaphor, disguised as a humorous ice-breaking story. All right, let's look at other examples of metaphors. Now, metaphors can be used to get anyone to do anything. You're hiding a command. It doesn't have to be at the icebreaker humorous story of your presentation to someone. It doesn't have to be humorous at all, in fact. And it can be done by email. It can be done by texting, if you want to text that much. It can be done by written letter, typed letter, over the phone, in person. You know, the other day I was out on my boat and such happened. Just out of the blue, people tell stories as a normal course of conversation. Your stories should have a purpose. Not only are you trying to disarm the person, put them at ease around you, hey, this person's very laid back, they tell stories, great, but you're also commanding them. You're telling them to do something. You're making them take action. All right, what if you're having lunch with someone? It's not a business lunch, as far as the person knows. It's just two people hanging out, having lunch, and you decide to tell a story. You decide to start talking about how you were on a golf course the other day, and you played 9 holes. Now, I don't play golf regularly, but I've worked with a lot of golfers, and I have played golf. I'm familiar with it. I know the psychology of it. It's basically a game of doing your personal best. So let's say, in this conversation with this person, you're trying to get them to do their personal best. Let's say it's an employee of yours, a salesperson. This particular salesperson is not doing his best. And you, as his boss, need to motivate him to do better. So you begin to tell a story about the 9 holes of golf you played the other day. And how at first, things weren't going quite right. But eventually, by the time you got to the 9th hole, you had built up momentum throughout the day. Momentum was kicking in throughout the day. Eventually, you were shocked. You were making a hole in one consistently. Now, how unlikely is that, that you're going to make a hole in one consistently on several different shots? I'm telling a story here. This person's going to be amazed. If you don't want to make it quite so powerful or shocking or have them question you, you can say that you are well under par, meaning you're doing better. If you're not a golfer, meaning you are doing better than you normally do or than the average person would do. You're well under par. You're doing exceptionally well. But this increased as time went on. As the day progressed, you did better. And finally, at the end, you made a hole in one. How about that? You see, you can work with a story any way you want. But make sure that you describe situations which are similar to the situation the person is in. You see, this person who you're talking to is not feeling very good about his possibilities. That's how you felt at the beginning of your game. This person needs motivation. You've seen them do that well before. So perhaps halfway through the game, you can say, I started to remember that I've done better than this before. In fact, last September, I did better than this. Maybe that was their last time doing well in sales. So I tapped into that power because you want them to tap into that power. And then suddenly it kicked in and I was unstoppable. Everyone was applauding me. I felt great. I felt like I was Tiger Woods back in the day. Okay, so have fun with it. Create your own metaphors and use them and realize how powerful they are, just how amazing they are, and how much ground they can gain you in terms of controlling, commanding, persuading someone without them even knowing it. A metaphor I like to use is a ship going across the water and encountering stormy seas, but pushing through that because the captain, who looks a lot like the person I'm talking to, by the way, She decided to stick with it. She decided to make it. So you make the person similar. This captain was wearing certain clothing, and you're describing the clothing that this lady's wearing that you're talking to, that you're trying to motivate. And she did this, and she did that. She had similar mannerisms to whoever you're talking to. And then she finally made it. She persevered and made it. So those are motivational type metaphors that you can use. You can use a metaphor for anything. Any metaphor you can put together is fine. All right. I think you can see this coming, so I'm going to go ahead and give you the homework first. I want you to create a metaphor. Create a metaphor that's going to get someone to do something, and then deliver the metaphor to that person. Also, I want you to have fun with my alpha power patterns. Have fun with them. Go back and listen to them again if you need to. But I want you to use one of the five types of patterns that I mentioned. Use one. And having said that, I think it's time for a quiz to test your knowledge in a fun way. All right. So, quiz question one. Tell me the most powerful word in the world. What is the most powerful word in the world? And it can be translated into any language. Question number two. If I'm using the words before, while, and after, what type of a power pattern is this? Okay, go back and review if you need to. Pause this if you need to. Let's move on now. Let's move on to metaphors. A metaphor quiz question. In metaphors, should the people in your story be exactly like the people in reality? Okay. Question number one. Most powerful word in the world is yes. Yes. You'll see it in advertising all the time. In fact, here's a little hint for you if you didn't already know. Get people saying yes. Ask them questions that have yes answers. Does the sun exist? Yes. Is the sky blue? Yes. Would you like to buy? Well, guess what the answer will probably be. Yes. Get them accustomed to saying yes. Yes, yes. And then the question that you want them to really say yes to is, will you buy? Okay. So question number one, the most powerful word in the world is yes. Question number two, what type of power pattern uses the words before, while, and after? Of course, that would be a sequential power pattern. It's a sequence before, while, and after. In the past, in the present, and in the future. Sequential. Okay. And then the last question, when you do a metaphor, using a metaphor to control someone's mind, do you want there to be an exact parallel between the metaphorical story and the person in reality or the people in reality? Do you want that to be an exact match? Of course, the answer is no. You want it to be approximate. Approximate ages, definite gender when you can, approximate clothing style, approximate hairstyle, and so forth. And guess what? In metaphors, you can even use animals to represent people. It can be a horse, as I mentioned, a stallion running across a field. That can represent the person. If the person sees themselves that way, if they feel that they are like that, then that's a great metaphor to use. So have fun with this. I want you to go out there and practice these, using these techniques. Have fun and enjoy. And come back and join me in the next module, and we'll have even more fun. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.